trussed up in the pressure suit, I feel like a 50s comic book hero who's blundered through a fetish movie's wardrobe. Pike passes me a bunch of elbow and knee protectors, a tough overall, and a pair of massively padded moon boots. Somehow I struggle into them. Then he comes up with a lightweight backpack frame with air tanks and... A rebreather? Isn't that dangerous? I ask.
Yep. We aren't NASA, and we can't waste 5 hours depressurizing you down to run on pure oxygen. Besides, you're not wearing a hard-shell suit. You're going to breathe a 70-30 nitrogen-oxygen mix. We scrub the carbon dioxide out with these lithium hydroxide canisters and recycle the nitrogen, adding oxygen to order.
Uh-huh. How do I change tanks?
On your own? You don't. There's a trick to it, and we don't have time to teach you. You cut over from tank one to tank two with a regulator valve here. Then you ask me to change tanks for you. If someone wants you to change their tank, which they won't unless things go pear-shaped in a big way, you do it like this.
He demonstrates on an unmounted backpack, and I try to keep track of it. Then he shows me the helmet and the chest-mounted monitors that keep track of my gas supply, temperature, and so on. Finally, he seems satisfied.
Well, if you remember all that, you're not going to die by accident. At least not immediately. Still happy?
I think about it. It'll have to do. What about radio?
Don't worry about it. It's automatic.
He flicks a switch or two on my chest panel, evidently making sure of that.
You're on the general channel. Everyone will be able to hear you unless they explicitly shut you out. Now...
He picks up a gadget that looks like a pair of underwater digital video cameras strapped with gaffer tape to either side of a black box gizmo of some kind.
Have you ever seen one of these before?
I peer closely, then unclip the lid on the box and look inside. I didn't know they'd successfully weaponized that. He looks surprised.
Can you tell me what it is and how it works?
Can I? Yeah, I've seen this arrangement before, but only in the lab. This chip here is a small custom-built ASIC processor that emulates a neural network that was first identified in the cingulate gyres of a Medusa. It turns out you can find the same pathways in a basilisk, but... Well, there's a load of image processing stuff on the front end, behind those video cameras. Now, I would guess that the two cameras are the optical component of this gadget. We're performing some sort of wave superposition on the target, so...
Fine, fine.
He passes me a somewhat shop-soiled video camera manual.
Give this a read. And this.
He hands me a bundle of typed pages with bright red secret headers, then passes me the lash-up. I look it over dubiously. There's an arrow on top of the neural network box with the caption, "This side toward enemy," and a flat-panel camcorder viewfinder on the back, so you can pretend it's just a computer game you're playing with while you kill people. What this gadget does violates the second law of thermodynamics. Nobody's quite sure why it's so specific, but the Medusa effect seems to be some kind of observationally mediated quantum tunneling process. It turns out that something like 0.01% of all the atomic nuclei of carbon in the target zone acquire 8 extra protons and a balancing number of neutrons, turning them into highly electronegative silicon ions. A roughly balancing proportion of carbon nuclei just seem to vanish, wrecking whatever bonds they were part of. How much damage can this thing do to a person? I ask.
How much damage will a stubby shotgun do? Pike responds. Enough. Silicon hydrogen bonds aren't stable. Don't point it at anyone, and don't switch it on. And most of all, don't hit the observe button unless I tell you to. Which I won't unless you are very, very unlucky. Or unless you decide to blow your feet off by accident, which is your own lookout.
Understood. I switch off the viewfinder and power down both cameras, then gingerly put the gadget down. You aren't expecting trouble by any chance? Pike stares at me.
No, it's my job to see that you don't get into trouble, he says.
I take a second to recognize the expression. He's wondering if I'm going to be a liability. Tell me what to do and I'll do it, I say. You're the expert on this.
Am I?
He looks skeptical.
You're the occult specialist. You tell me what we're up against.
He bends down, picks up a rebreather regulator, begins stripping off the insulation panels in an absent-minded sort of way.
I mean it. What are you expecting to find on the other side of this gate?